to Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 278. This is a podcast that looks at life through some very ancient Christian lenses, the lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, the most ancient of all lenses, but it's polished up for today, and we call that look an Armadoxy look. Take a look with us right now. As we put together, as we mix up the chants with the rock and roll by walking in the sandals of Christ and in the shoes of the homeless, the cancer victims, and the prisoners. Armadoxy has arrived and you are here. So let's get ready and walk with us. Take the next step. Oh, I am so glad you are with me today. I don't know if I could walk this alone, so I'm glad you're with me today. It's been a really, really rough week, and I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate all of your comments, all of your emails, the little, even when you text me, even when you get into those little Facebook conversations with me, it goes a long way, especially this week. Very, very, very disappointed. What can I tell you? I left you last week. Do you remember? And we talked about the Bishop's Synod. And I left you in a way that I thought, well, I was going to come back to you in a couple days. Remember? That's how we left last week. I gave you a background of what the Bishop's Synod is, what it means, and how important it is. And there we were. It was last Thursday. We wrapped up the podcast. And I left you with the final parting song that hope to be back with you in the next few days. And my whole intention was to take what had come out of that synod and really kind of mix it up and give some comments, hear some comments from you, and talk about it, using it as an opportunity for our spiritual growth. But didn't work out that way, did it? Well, I'm going to talk to you about that disappointment. And it's a disappointment out of which I think comes a bigger message, a message for us to stay focused and on tune with what we're doing, with what Armadoxy is all about. In that same week, we ended up our Son Sash. All of you who enjoyed that for a year, thank you for being with us for that one-year tour of the Sun. Okay, we started that last October 1st, and it was a way of, well, it, you know what? It ended up becoming like a diary for me. Yeah, it was supposed to be like inspiration for the day, and then it ended up becoming, because I got so emotionally involved, personally involved, that each of the days had significance and there was thoughts for the day. So for me, it became a diary. For many people who responded to it, they said, wow, what a beautiful way to start off the day. Well, if you're unfamiliar with it, it's at sunsash.blogspot.com, and it's 365 entries that began last year, October 1st, and continued all the way till a couple days ago. And the whole idea, well, actually the name came out of a combination of my wife's names, Susan, and my sister's name, Anush. And if you really look at those names, S-U-S-A-N, it's also it's a redistribution of those letters in Anush, of course, the S-H sound in Armenian, Susan, Shushan, so you get the S-H sound, and put them all together, what do you get? You get a Sun Sash. And it was a play on words. To talk about how we sash the sun, you know, the sun, the warmth, and you're going around the sun, and you're getting inspiration, you're getting bits of light. There were all kinds of metaphors we were playing with. But after a year's travel, once around the sun, we realized, okay, here it is, 365 days. We've gone around the sun, and we have sashed it. Pretty nice, huh? Yeah, that was a nice continuation of the metaphor of going and sun sashing around, you know. And anyway, once a day, 12:08 exactly, in the middle of the night for me here, I'd make sure that there was a message that went out. And these messages related to me. They related to maybe to the, you know, for instance, on Easter Sunday, there would be a message of resurrection. For instance, on a birthday, a message of how that person related to me, how I related to that person. So it became like a diary for me. But what was interesting was the responses that I was getting. Each of those messages had a meaning to the different people that it touched. And you know, sometimes just out of the blue, somebody would say, hey, you know, that was really cool. You know, how did you happen to know that this was on this particular day? And I didn't know, of course. All I knew was that this message spoke to me. But in retrospect, as I'm looking at them, you know, these are these little one-liners. And I've shared this with you many times. You know, we're in that Facebook, Twitter era where we're talking about 140 characters. And yeah, that is very negative. It is very limiting. How can you get across an idea? But on the other hand, it's an opportunity to really challenge our brains, challenge ourselves to be articulate in what we say. You know, we all do this. We all have problems in expression. And certainly you sitting there probably thinking, this guy, you know, he's saying a small little idea and he's taking up so much bandwidth over here. Yeah, sure. I'm one step ahead of my critics, aren't I? But really, isn't that the challenge, to be able to articulate effectively and efficiently? Okay, you've got an idea. Think about the entire concept of Christianity. I mean, Christ, in a few words, was able to give this message of hope, of love, of resurrection. By a few words, I mean, take the entire gospel where his words are recorded. You take those words, put them all together, they fill up maybe, oh, what would you say, 2-3 pages, typewritten pages? That's about it. That's about it. And yet, he has changed humanity. He has changed all of life in those words. Think about the parables, small little ideas, concepts, and he's able to change. He's able to articulate his vision. And you know, when we talk about mission statements, vision statements, you know, the elevator rule, the idea that you're supposed to get on an elevator, and by the time you get to your floor, can you articulate what you are selling, what you are producing to a person in that elevator ride? Well, think about it. Jesus did exactly that. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of a pearl. And when he finds it, he sells everything that he has so that he can acquire that pearl. That's it. Boom. He puts a period there and then he walks out of the elevator. Now you're left over there in the elevator thinking about a lot of ideas. And I think this is really a challenge for us today when we are in a 140-character world, to be able to use those words efficiently. And when you think about, for example, downfall of these regimes in the Middle East came about by Facebook, by Twitter. You're not talking about, you know, like in the past where people would write treaties or where they would write books and it would be the downfall of governments. You're talking about 140 characters on a small little iPhone and they are able to bring down regimes. And think about the opportunity that we have today. Can you throw out an idea and get people to think, get people to move, get people to react? And so for me, the sun sash was exactly an opportunity to do that. It was a growing process for me, and it was a wonderful process. So I had a lot of fun doing that. It is all archived. It's on Facebook at Sunsash. It's on the blog spot at Sunsash. So there's ways of looking at it. You could check out what I did for the year. And it is a period. It is an end. And, you know, it's important also to have beginnings. As much as it's important to have beginnings, it's also important to have ends. Sometimes we let things just go on and fluctuate. And in all reality, I expected Sun Sash to go beyond that year, but it was kind of a perfect time to say, you know, the sun has been sashed and we put a period on it. I think that's okay to do. You know, not all the time, but it's okay to do, to put periods instead of commas and say, okay, we're ready to go on to the next challenge, the next opportunity. And while we're on technology, I'm going to use this because I think it segues right into the entire Bishop's Synod. I think we're going to have an interesting segue over there. I want to talk to you about these numbers that I heard the other day about Twitter and Facebook, about the number of phony IDs that exist. Apparently, companies wanting to be popular will populate Twitter with different IDs and will get a lot of people following them. So those numbers aren't really realistic. You know, how many people are following you? You've got 10,000, 20,000, you've got a million people following you. How many are real? Well, there's an app that actually did that, that went and investigated a lot of followers, and they found some unrealistic number. Like, for instance, for some big companies, and this was an NPR news item. If I can remember on which story it was, I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. But basically, you know, it was something like 60% of the followers were real, and the other 40% were just made up ideas just to populate and get some numbers. And it's an interesting idea that we're living in this age where we can actually forge identities. We've all heard about the problems that caused, but actually forge identities for popularity. And that popularity translates into dollars, because the more popular you are, there are more sponsorships, there's more opportunities for people to pay to be heard by you, right? That's correct, right? If I have the next step over here and I'm looking for sponsors, people to sponsor me, someone's going to come and say, how many people are listening to you? If I say 500, well, that translates to I could afford to give you $10 to be on your show. If I'd say I've got a million people listening, well, that translates to, you know, here's $5,000, $10,000 for a minute spot on your thing, or a half a minute spot, whatever it translates. But you get the idea. The more listeners you have, the more popular you are, the more you can charge for that time, for that service that you had. It's basic economics here in a capitalistic state. And so there's now companies that you can hire that will actually populate your following. And now there are apps to look into those and say that, no, these are phony. And that's a no-no. You don't do that. So it's very interesting how technology is actually creating a policing of its own self. But here's where I want to go with this, okay? And this is, I said there would be a segue. It's not just for the sake of technology, okay? Yelp. You've heard of Yelp. It's basically self-critique, right? You critique where you have gone, where you have eaten, where you have lodged, and it's an opportunity for you to talk to other people, to steer off other people, right? What is it? Let's see. What's it say? Yelp is the best way to find great local businesses. People use Yelp to search for everything from city's tastiest burger to the most renowned cardiologist. What will you uncover in your neighborhood? Yes, it's also the day of Yelp, isn't it? As much as it is Twitter and as much as it is Facebook, Yelp, sure. Because personally, you now have an opportunity to critique. You get where I'm going? Well, don't you see, we're in that world right now. We are critiquing. There are no sacred institutions. Before, there were only a few people that critique, but now it's in the hands of everyone. Everyone can become an editor to sift out what they're going to listen to, what they're going to watch. In fact, last night when we started off our Bible study, that's why we started off. We talked about the idea that everyone is an editor these days. You edit your own content right now. It's not like somebody else. You need anybody else. You basically have it at your fingertips. You can select the news that you want to listen to. And so we are becoming more prejudiced this. In other words, we are prejudging which news items that we are focusing in on. Because if you are inclined, for instance, in here in America, the Democrats and the Republicans, you know that they're at a stalemate, you know that the government is shut down, and so you want some information. You're a Republican. Well, you're not going to go to the Democratic websites or to the Democratic commentators because you don't agree with them. You're going to go to your own, and you go to the Republican, and vice versa. Democrats do the same thing. And so we're becoming more and more filtered, more and more narrow-minded, putting our blinders on and not opening our eyes, our ears, our senses to counter arguments, or at least, at the very least, to hear other points of view. A very well-known commentator here in the United States. I listen to him in the mornings. People, sometimes they come to me, how come you're listening to this? Don't you know? Well, yeah, I do know what brand he is, let's say. But it gives me an opportunity to listen to another point of view. Even if it's completely opposite to what I believe, it's important for me to be able to be balanced, to have a flow of information, because I can't believe everybody is just off. There's got to be some goodness that comes from different people. And in the same way, when we get to religion, people will listen. People, in fact, just a couple weeks ago, I shared with you this message about Pope Francis, his article, his interview in America. I've had people who wrote to me, yeah, but you know what, he's Catholic. And I said, and what does that mean to you? You know, what does that mean? Well, you know, we're Orthodox. Okay, well, now what does that mean to you? They're Catholic and we're Orthodox. I mean, you know, we put on these labels, but shouldn't we open our senses and open our understanding to other traditions, to other people, and at least listen? That to me is probably the strength of what we have as an open society, as open information, and probably the strength of what the internet can offer us right now. Gives us a chance to at least exchange ideas in an open form. And yes, some of them are absurd ideas. Some of them you listen to and you say, how could they allow this stuff? But there you go, you're begging the question, because that's exactly the point. Who are the they? You are the they. There is no more they. There is no more authority, central authority. Nah. You see where I'm going with this, okay? So the Bishop Synod met. You're talking about institution. You're talking about church. And basically, people started reviewing, as we did. We did the Yelp to the Armenian Church. We did a review of what's going to happen over there. And we walked away realizing that the Armenian Church is closed doors. They're not interested in outside. We're going to talk about that right after the song of the day. This is Vartan Hovsepian with his hymn. is Vartan Hovsepian, the artist, off of an album of his called Aragast, and that is his hymn. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll have a link on our show notes. Hey, history was made. We're talking about the Bishop's Synod. And I got caught up in it. I have to be honest with you. I got caught up in it, as did many, many people. We got caught up. We thought that this was really history in the making. And we were living through it. We got excited because we know that the church is at a point that it needs some changes. It needs some revisions. And it needs definitely a reformation. And there we were. There we were, looking into it, and just all of a sudden, doors were closed. I talked about Yelp, right? Yelp is this opportunity to comment about an establishment you've gone to. Did you enjoy some food someplace? Did you not like the service you received at a beauty parlor or at a spa? How was that cup of coffee? Well, you could write on it on Yelp. And we've gotten familiar with these kind of websites, with blogging, with passing along our information. And basically today, whereas in the past you needed to be on an editorial staff to get hundreds, if not thousands, of people to read your comments, today anybody with a cheap computer or a tablet, or actually access to any one of those, can get on board and, well, legitimately make comments about anything. This is what I was sharing with you earlier, that Yelp is one of those opportunities. It's one of those websites where you can comment about different places. And they were just talking about that they noticed that there were these companies that are now charging big money. They're called reputation management companies. And basically, they will write reviews for you. Well, okay, and they're saying that, well, you shouldn't do that, but isn't that what a good PR firm is, right? That's what a good PR firm does. They write good, reviews for you. And they're finding out that there are many, many false reviews on Yelp and similar blogs. And so they started off with a sting operation. They actually had somebody who said that his business was under attack on Yelp and wanted a reputation management company to clean up his act. And the company, and many companies they found, would do exactly that. For a fee, they would go in there and they would write reviews, false reviews, about how good your establishment was, how good was the nightlife at your bar, how good was the automotive service that they got when you repaired their automobile, how good is the window service when you go and put in new windows in somebody's house, all kinds of things. And they did this sting operation and they found there are many of these companies, and for hefty prices, they will go in there and they'll clean up your reputation by offering false information. And it got me to thinking, you know, what's going on? What is the big problem that I'm having with what's going on in the church? I mean, a few years ago, we established over here this idea of armadoxy. Let's strip away the church part and let's talk about what the central message is. What came to the Armenian people by way of Thaddeus and Bartholomew? What kept them going? What was the message of faith, hope, and love that inspired them, that got them to move and actually talk about peace, even though they've never known peace? And I've shared this whole concept of armadoxy with you throughout the years. And here I was last week, looking forward to the Bishop's Synod. And the Bishop's Synod hadn't been called in several years. Actually, the last one was in 1969, so there was no continuity. But in 69, it wasn't with all of the bishops in attendance. And here we were in 2013 with the possibility of all bishops in attendance, but out of the 78 possible, I believe that something like 68 came, which is a good percentage, right? But what became of it? We were looking for, at least I was, and I know many people were, we were looking forward to some major decisions. Major decisions. And at the end of the day, we got a press release that came out of Etchmiadzin. And let me share with you my frustration, because it wasn't a press release that you just got. It's actually, you had to go search it on the website. And on the website, it was underneath many other things that were there. But basically, what it said is from September 24th through 27th, the Mother See of Holy Etchmiadzin, His Holiness Karekin II, Supreme Patriarch and Catholicos of all Armenians, His Holiness Aram I, Catholicos of the Great House of Cilicia, take a breath, because you've now said a mouthful, right? Presided over the opening of the Bishop's Synod of the Armenian Church. Present at the meeting were 62 archbishops and bishops from the Mother See and Great House of Cilicia. So we've basically done a redundancy, right? We've made sure that everything is, all our I's are dotted and T's are crossed. We've made sure that all the people have been accounted for. Well, did you know that there are two other hierarchical sees in the Armenian Church? One is Jerusalem and one is in Istanbul. The Patriarch of Istanbul has been incapacitated for several years, but he's still the Patriarch. His name wasn't even mentioned here. The Patriarch of Jerusalem had a fallout. He did not attend. His name was not even mentioned here, but we got a list of all kinds of people. Okay, so after the list, now this is a historic meeting, because I said the last one was held in 1969, but in reality, the bigger one was held many hundreds of years ago when all of the bishops came together. So it was a time that we were looking forward to. And, you know, I shared with you my ideas last week. I told you this is where it came from. This is how it evolved. And we're looking forward to some of the answers. Well, it came down to this. I mean, after you get through some very lengthy paragraphs with all kinds of titles, and, you know, we Orthodox have the, you know, we take it on titles. We have His Holinesses, which I know the Catholics do too. We have His Beatitudes, we have His Eminences, His Graces, and then we have the bishops and the archbishops, and all kinds of different titles in between. And it's interesting because the man we're serving just went by a simple title called, what was his name? Jesus. That's it. Yeah. Jesus. Interesting, right? There's no His Holiness, there's no His Beatitude or anything, just Jesus. Happened to be the Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ, that's huge. But I'm talking about the expression. I'm talking about His name. The way we greet Him. Jesus. How simple is that? Okay, I'm sorry. You gotta know where I'm at emotionally. I mean, this is something that really hit us hard. We were looking forward to that. Well, anyway, it came down to it, and I'll put a link to the press release. You can look it up and read into it, because there's not much over there. It talked about a few of the issues, basically making sure that the baptism rite is celebrated in the proper way. You know, I mean, there's a war going on in Syria. There's people dying, but they're talking about the baptism over here, which was on the, it was on the agenda. Okay, let's be fair about it. And then they're talking about canonizing the martyrs of 1915, of the genocide. And wouldn't it be great if we had some information of what this process was like? But maybe there is no information, because there is no process. So we're in the dark. And so we are living in this technologically advanced state where we have access to all kinds of information. But this base is basically, there is no information here. Except what we knew going in. Okay? Now I've got to tell you something. There was three speeches that were made public. One was the speech of His Holiness Catholicos Karekin, one was the speech of His Holiness Catholicos Aram, and one was the speech of Serge Sarkisian, the president of the Republic of Armenia. And I know there was a lot of chatter about this one, that he, why was he there, and why was he in the middle of it? when this was really an ecumenic meeting. In other words, it was a church meeting. Why did you have the president of Armenia? But that's arguable, okay? And there's many reasons. There's protocol issues and stuff like that. Okay, I'm not going to pick on that one. But here's what I am going to share with you. The messages that were given. What did they contain? All right, check this out. There's a website called Wordle, okay? And what you do on Wordle is you take a speech, you take a book, you put a bunch of text in there, and it gives you a proportion. It tells you what words were used and to what extent, and it gives you kind of a very nice graphical look at them too. Okay, you take the words of His Holiness Kadek and you throw them into this Wordle, and you know what? The biggest word that comes out is mer. Means ours. It's pretty cool, huh? The second biggest word, Yegeretzi. The church. The concept of the church. Now, interestingly enough, there are a few references to Christ, which you didn't find when you do the same search with Catholicos Arams. You get the word betk. We must. Okay, that's very sermonizing, right? Pontifical, let's say. In Catholicos Arams, you get mer and yegeretzi. Same words are highlighted. You don't get too many Christs in there. Actually, I didn't think it even came up. And this is in contrast with what I shared with you last week. Remember that dais, that picture that was there, okay? You had the two Catholicos sitting both sides of the president, and in the background, not even an icon of Christ. Forget about the icon. Okay, we don't want to show Christ in a picture. Okay, I understand. There may be reasons for that. I don't know. But I understand that people may have a reasoning for that. But how about a cross? How about just a basic cross? Okay, it's not there. And likewise, in these speeches, there's an absence of the centrality of Christ within the church. And guess where we found it? In the third speech I referenced. In the speech of the president. Now, I'm not going to argue with you. There are political reasons why they put these in and everything, but at least it was present there. And everything that I've talked to you about right now is all superficial. I will admit that, okay? I'm going to be straight out. We are looking at just the words, okay? And yes, that is a very superficial look at it. But it gives us some information because we are lacking that information. It wasn't provided. So you go back to the original press release, which you had to sift through on the website, on Etchmiadzin website, to find it. And you find some interesting things that are as follow-up. Now, before I do that, what did I have to sift through, okay? Go to the website, etchmiadzin.com, okay? And what are the top stories that appear? The same day that bishop synod was ending, they had pictures and they had videos of the Holy Transfiguration Cathedral being consecrated in Moscow with all kinds of clerics as well as the president of Armenia. You had over here the Saint Nerses, the graceful medal of honor was given to the primate of the Brazilian diocese. The Sohoyan manuscript gallery opened in the Manoogian Treasury House Museum. I am just reading to you the headlines on the website. So now you have a bishop synod of historic proportions taking place. You have no information coming out about that, but you have information about museum pieces, about buildings being built. And at that point, you need to start wondering, okay, what's going on? And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm completely frustrated because I was really, really looking for something of meat, something of substance. So, went back to the press release about Etchmiadzin, about the Bishop Synod. And there was a little bit of light there that I need to share with you because I think it's important that when we are critical, that we do find those little small little bits of light. And I found this toward the end. Okay, and it says, reviewing the results of the Bishop Synod, they also expressed concern for, are you ready for this? Social, economic, national, and regional various other challenges and problems present in the church and civil life of our nation. Ah, I like that. So after we've done all of this hoopla and everything, guess what? Economic, social, national, regional challenges, problems are on people's mind. And this goes back to, I think everyone sitting at that table at the Bishop Synod, I think everyone goes in with good intentions, but what happens is you're caught up in the structure. So let me just, before I go there, let me share with you what happened over here. So as a solution to these challenges, it says, as their service to the Armenian Apostolic Church, the bishops decided to establish a foundation for supporting the disadvantaged children of Armenia, Cilicia, and Armenians in Syria with the blessings of the Catholicos of all Armenians, Karaking II, and Catholicos of Great House of Cilicia, Aram I. Someone should tell them how to write press releases, right? We don't need all this. Anyway, whatever. Closing my mouth right now. Okay. Initially, $2 million United States dollars was provided for launching the foundation, and a special committee was created for organizing the mission of the foundations. Great. Okay. Something came out of this bishop's conference that is tangible, you could put your hands on. Okay. Now, that being said, let's now look at our reaction to it. Sure, it's frustrating, it's confounding, but listen, it is the bishop's synod, and that is part of the structure of the church. Basically, they're getting the opportunity to go in there and be as tight-lipped and as closed door as they want to be. Now, also part of the church is your and my reaction to that, which should be equally as legitimate. We should be able to say that, you know, this is part of our church, that's part of the structure. That all being said, we get confounded and frustrated. Why? Because of the structure, because of the infrastructure. And so what I've tried to share with you here is let's look for basically the message that comes out of that, which is armodoxy, of the love of Christ. Because I firmly believe, and I know you believe, and I know the bishops believe, that they are there for a purpose. Those bishops went in with good intention. There are very few, if any, that would sit around and say, let's see how we could confound other people. I know, we can be cynical, we can look at it and say, yeah, they're in there for other reasons, but seriously, folks, I know many of you, if you think about it for a few minutes, those people that are there, those bishops, those Catholicoi, they're there with good intentions. But they're confounded by a system that is broken. And that system that is broken is really a structure. Now we look at that system and we call that the box. And we say you've got to think outside of the box. Actually, I'm going to challenge you with another metaphor. Instead of thinking outside of the box, how about expanding the box? And I was thinking about that the other day as I was sipping on some coffee. You look at your coffee cup. You cannot handle the coffee without the cup. It's important to have that structure there to keep the coffee in place. In the same way, it's important to have the structure, the box, so you can keep the church there. I've shared this with you many times. We don't want to become another Protestant Reformation. In other words, working on the outside. We are on the inside, okay? This is our church. It's been given to us. This is the box. How about expanding that box now? And I think this is the challenge before us. Out of the bishop's conference, the bishop's synod, this is what came to me. It came to me that, okay, what we are doing here as armodoxy, what we are doing as apostle.net is really expanding the box. We're not punching outside of the box. We're not thinking outside of the box, but we're really expanding the box to be more inclusive so that we can talk to the people who are disenfranchised, which includes all of us. By press releases, by works like this, you do feel disenfranchised. But you do understand also that there is a structure that needs to feed itself, that needs to go on like that. Can we find some good in all of this? Absolutely. Through that structure, we're finding opportunities where people are at least setting up foundations. But also, we're finding an opportunity for us to share with one another our beliefs, our faith. And in our confusion and frustration over the system, we're saying, okay, here's an opportunity for us to really promote the central message of Christ in the church, namely armodoxy. And so that's what we're about. So in a sense, I took a few weeks And I'm admitting it. This was my problem. Last week, I kind of got really into it, and I said, okay, here is this historic opportunity. Let's see what they're going to do. But then we see that it's business as usual. So as we're looking at business as usual, let's not get confounded. Let's realign ourselves to our central mission, basically getting the word of Christ out to the people. Not in just some free-form way, but within that box which we call the Armenian Church. And in that Armenian Church, sure, there is a structure over there. There is a hierarchy over there, and we're not saying any disrespect to them, but we're also saying along with that hierarchy, there's a lot of candles, there's a lot of incense, there are a lot of prayers from the people. And those prayers, that guidance that we ask for in those prayers, is one that we cannot deny. It is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is guiding us right now to make this podcast. It is guiding you and me to share our ideas with one another, to articulate them with one another, whether it's on 140 characters, or in a podcast, or in an essay. And in so doing, we want to build up the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Church. I'm going to leave you with these ideas today, okay? What I did is I wanted you to see the thought process that I was going into, the thought process that we call Armodoxy Apostle. Here's Susie to tell you how to get involved.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
I think we're all understanding how important it is to keep this ministry alive, and we're understanding that where we're going as we have opportunities like this. Now, like I said earlier, this has been a couple weeks. We've been talking about some of the structural issues. We go back to our regular programming and talking about in matters of faith. But I hope I made a very important point today about the importance of that box, and I hope you're with me today. I want to thank you for this opportunity that you give us to share with you, to tune in with us, and to partner with us on this journey that we're taking. I appreciate all of your prayers and your support in making Armodoxy real in our lives. Thank you very much for being part of this. Before we conclude today, I want to just conclude with a couple ideas. One is that Pope John Paul II of blessed memory, as well as Pope John the 23rd. These two popes are going to be canonized next spring. And the Vatican has released their two names. Interesting, because I think the first time in history two popes, former popes, are going to be canonized. And if all goes well, two living popes are going to be presiding at the canonization of that. Of course, we remember that Benedict is Pope Emeritus, a status that they gave him, one that I wish that we would remember within the Armenian Church when it comes to people like Archbishop Mesrop Mutafian. He is the patriarch of Istanbul, and many times is forgotten because it's been a few years now that he has been incapacitated and unable to complete his ministry in this position. And of course, we have locum tenens, we have people who fill in for these positions, but it's important to also remember these clerics, these clergymen, in our prayers. You know, now that they've led a life of sacrifice, theirs has been a sacrificial life. And now that they're up at that cross, let's never let them stand there alone. Let's be with them, with our prayers, with our thoughts. So I'm asking for special prayers for Archbishop Mesrop Mutafian, who happens to be the Patriarch of Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul. We remember him in our prayers. That brings us to the end of today's show. I want to say it was a little different, wasn't it? Okay, it was different for me because I got caught up in something and I wanted to confess and I wanted to share it with you. But today is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow happens to be October 4th. Do you know what that means? That's right. It is 10-4. It is Highway Patrol. That's dating me. But those of you who understand that will know what I'm talking about. 10-4, October 4th. Looking forward to doing a little something special tomorrow. I'm going to be back next week. We're going to pick it up where we left off. A lot of stuff has been happening over the week. I've been going in and out of different kinds of mood swings, primarily because we're trying to put this all together. We had an opportunity to be with the Los Angeles Police Department talking about peace issues. I want to share that with you. Other issues coming up. So until next week, I want to thank you for joining us and remind you that you can catch us during the week at epostle.net or on Facebook/epostle. And I want to invite you to all the shows that we put together. You know, you can catch Inside the Pomegranate with Amish. You can catch Compass with Linda. And, of course, The Next Step at epostle.net and on Facebook, Epostle in His Shoes, as well as St. Peter Armenian Church, the mothership. You'll find my sermons. You'll find videos, all kinds of fun stuff. Hey, listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Vahe, our webman, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Leave blood at the Red Cross, not on the highway. This is Bradley Crawford saying, see you next week.
Hi, this is Anush, and welcome to my podcast, Inside the Pomegranate. Every Monday, I'll be bringing you something new to think about, something I like to call my pomegranate seeds. We'll talk about life, love, parenting, applied Christianity, serving the community, wellness, and healthy living, and, well, all kinds of stuff. So I hope you'll stop by for a look inside. Inside the Pomegranate, that is. And remember, pomegranate a week adds to the mystique. So, till Monday, I hope you have a pomegranate day filled with hope and ripe with possibilities.